Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's great to see the faces here. And praise God for the beautiful weather. I mean, it's beautiful depending on if you like it really hot or not. For my wife, Michelle, it's beautiful because it's very similar to Bangkok, where she's from. Today, the topic of my sermon is, Are You With Faith? I know it sounds a bit grammatically off. Are you with faith? But I'll get into that later on in the sermon. Michelle and I, we moved into Parkville about 2 years ago. And initially the plan was for me to be able to walk to work every day because my work isn't far from there. And I say it's a plan because it took me quite a while for me to actually get into that. It was a lot easier to sleep in and drive maybe 5-10 minutes to get to work. But eventually, thanks to Active August, I was able to kickstart a habit to walk to work every day. It takes about 50 minutes, 50 minutes, and yeah, it's a great exercise. And I also integrated this new habit of listening to some podcasts, presentations, or even debates. And I'm not going to be debating anyone today. I just want to present something that's going to bless us, hopefully. So before I start, I'd like to quickly say a word of prayer. Lord, Father in heaven, I have of myself nothing to say, but I pray that the words may be of yours and that what I share today may be filled with the Spirit and filled with love and pointing towards you. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Question for everyone. Who here has been on a jury before? Anyone been on a jury before? Jury? Ah, Kim there. Yes. For myself, the first time I was a jury, first and only time I was a jury was towards the end of COVID, actually, in 2021. I was really surprised because, everything's locked down, and next minute I get a letter saying, you got to come and be part of the jury. And so I went there not expecting at all to be picked to be the jury, but somehow they picked me, and not only picked me, but when we stepped into the court, you see the furniture. It's a bit like this, actually. It's quite wooden, and you see the all the characters with the gowns, and everything was quite surreal. And of course, it was during COVID, so we all had to wear masks as well, which I think made me feel a bit safer because it happened to be a murder case. And during that time, obviously none of us were at the crime scene, but all the evidences were presented to us. So the evidence of the text message between the killer and the victim, the blood stains in the house, and the murder weapon. You know, we were presented with all these things. And also, a lot of the experts chimed in as well. And the prosecutor and the defense lawyer were able to cross-examine and do all that. But the interesting thing, of course, but as expected, given all these evidences were the same evidence, the conclusion of the defense lawyer and the prosecutor were vastly different. From the podcast that I was able to listen to recently, I was looking at the scientific world and how they investigate facts and how they look into evidences that are in nature. Evidences that they find in I can't use the word creation yet. In the evidence, evidences that they find in this world, they come to very different conclusions. I think we can all agree that nature is awesome. I know some people are allergic to nature. Hikes are not their thing. That's okay. But I know a lot of us here as well enjoy hikes. We had the chance to go on hikes with a few people here as well. Mount Bogong, Wilson's Prom, and there'll be a lot more hikes, so please stay tuned. It's a great way to go out and enjoy nature, and of course, God's creation. I think we can also agree that when we look at nature, there are designs that we see, there are patterns that we see, there are colors that are stunning. The more we get in touch with nature, it's hard for us to deny the design that's in nature. Today, we can look at the vast universe and look at how unlikely life would have formed on this earth and how the conditions of this earth are just perfect for life, how that's a miracle in itself. But we're not going to talk about that. We can zoom in a bit more, and we look at the ecosystems. We look at the rain. We look at the precipitation. We look at how the rivers flow into the sea. And we look at all these ecosystems that allow life to thrive and be sustained. But today, we'll skip that as well. We can also look at the human body, how amazing each of the body parts are. We can look at the eyes and see the functions, see how it's amazing. We can look at our brain, how it works, or we can look at our organs, but that's not what we're going to cover today. Actually. One new field that I've learned about recently, it's a bit of a mouthful, I'll try my best. We can look at biomimetrics. I think I got that right. Biomimetrics, also known as biomimicry. So bio meaning life, nature, and mimicry. We know the word mimicry, to mimic something, to copy something, right? So what is biomimicry? Biomimicry is the practice of designing and creating solutions by imitating nature's design and strategies. So basically what it entails is that we look at things in nature, and as humans, we try to improve things that we already have, technologies that we already have. And examples of this is, for example, studying the physics of the dragonfly wings. So you can see the dragonfly, the wings. When they study that, they were able to increase the efficiency of wind turbines. So that's one example. And another example is that when they studied the eyes of the flies, the eyes, you can see the eyes of the fly, they were able to advance this technology in optical sensors, where, you know, security sensors, you see how movement sensors and all that, that's optical sensor. And through studying the eyes of the fly, pesky flies sometimes, they were able to come up with these improvement and solutions. But today we're not going to study that either. We're just going to look at one particular example, which really amazed me. And it's actually, we've zoomed from the universe, zoomed to the ecosystems, we zoomed to the little dragonfly flies, but we're going even deeper. We're going to the cellular level of the humans. So Dr. Rob Carter, he's a marine biologist and geneticist. He said that there was this assumption that life would be simple, but time and time and time again, we find that it's more complicated than anyone had anticipated. So there's this assumption that life would be simple, especially as science develops as well. So another thing he continues to say is that what do we know about the cell today? It's a wonder of complexity, unbelievably amazing. Everything we learn about it is shockingly complex. And that's what we want to look at today. So I just wanted to play short video.
It's been called one of the wonders of the molecular world, an amazing nanoscale machine. ATP synthase is a high-tech micromolecular power generator inside the cells of your body. It generates adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, an energy molecule that provides fuel that every one of your cells needs to function. Without this fuel, your cells will cease operation, and so will you. ATP synthase works like a rotary engine. The barrel-shaped rotator is composed of 10 to 15 protein parts called subunits. The rotator spins around, transmitting mechanical energy into the drive shaft of the machine, which helps make ATP. This drive shaft has a specially placed bump that opens and closes parts as the drive shaft spins around. This bump opens special protein subunits on the bottom of the machine. When the bottom subunits open, a spent energy molecule called adenosine diphosphate, or ADP, enters the machine. The mechanical motion causes the ADP to bind with an additional phosphate group, creating the ATP energy molecule. And the ATP drifts off into the cell, ready to power some biomechanical reaction. The ATP synthase machine has many parts we recognize from human-designed technology. A rotor, a stator, a drive shaft, and other basic components of a rotary engine. The ATP synthase is one of thousands of elegantly designed molecular machines inside your cells that make your life and all known life possible. ATP synthase. An example of intelligent design.
Yeah, looking at that, if you look past the jelly beans and all that, you'll see that there's a complex system that's ingrained within even the smallest cells that we feel is insignificant. So just like what Dr. Rob Carter said earlier, there was this assumption that life was simple. But as we saw, the deeper we looked into the cells, the deeper we looked into the human biology, this is the ATP actually powers all life, not just human life. All living organisms actually use ATP. So it's even when you look that deep, you're able to find design. You're able to find intelligence. And that's amazing to me because it's just like it's just like me going back to maybe my grandmother's village. You know, it's very remote in Myanmar, Myanmar that got affected by the earthquakes recently. It's just like me going back to that sort of area. You know, I probably expect life to be simple, right? I don't expect anything very technologically advanced. But when I arrive there, I see all these ATMs. I see all these eye scanners. You know, I see it's like that when you look at the functioning of the ATP synthase. So, as we saw, it's a very little motor, but and there are about 1,000 to 5,000 of them in just each mitochondria. So, and as humans, we have around 100,000 mitochondria. 100,000 trillion mitochondria. So, it's mind-blowing that something that small can have such a signature of design. Reminds me of what it says in the Word of God in Romans 1:7. In Romans 1:7, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invincible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So, you know, when I'm pretty sure with the context, different people will read this and they'll be able to see it differently. But in this context, even the invisible things glorify God, speak of God. So, from this discovery myself, it reminds me of when we memorized Genesis 1 together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God programmed and designed. And I believe from learning of this, it speaks of design rather than chance in creation. I wasn't going to talk too much about debates, but then there was this debate that I watched not too long ago. This was a debate between our atheist brother, his name is Bruce Gleason, and Pastor Jeff Durbin, which was leading the Christian side. So I usually watch debates, and you have ones that are very civil. You know, they might kind of take a swipe here and there, but it's very civil. But this one, it was quite hectic. It was really heated. There was a lot of talking over each other. You know, I wasn't a big fan of that aspect. But one part really stood out to me. So our friend, our atheist friend Bruce, he said he throughout the whole debate, he staunchly claims that we evolved naturally from material, so that so that really made the Christian guys press him. You know, so the Christians really pressed him whether he has faith in what he believes, if he needed faith in what he believes. And he shot back at them, "It's confidence, it's not faith." In response to Bruce's statement, the Christian side picked up on what was said and commented, "Bruce doesn't have faith. He has confidence." Confidence. Confide. From the Latin word, with faith. So that's hence the title of my sermon was, "Are you with faith? Are you confident?" The fact is that everyone has confidence or faith in a belief system. And that actually has a massive effect on how you live life, how you treat others, how you see things. And as we saw earlier from the example of the smallest cell, we don't need blind faith at all. We have plenty of evidence for us to look at of a creator, of a designer. My question is, are you confident in what you believe? Are you confide? Are you with faith? As for me, the more I look at science, the more I look at archaeology, the more I look at history, and as Adventists, the more I look at prophecy, my confidence grows. I become more with faith. I'm confident in the Creator God of Genesis who put naturalistic laws in place, as we see. But he is also able to, as someone in IT, if you're coding or building a program, you know more than what's in the program. You know, one of the quotes, Michael Behe, I'm going to paraphrase him. He said that the designer is always greater than the design. And I think a lot of us can agree with it. You know, if we make a painting, the designer isn't just as good as the painting. The designer is greater than the painting itself, right? Or if someone creates, for example, Microsoft creates Windows, you know, they're not constrained to just within Windows. They're actually outside of Windows. They can make changes to it, and they can apply those changes to it. So I believe that our Creator is able to do that as well. And when we have that in view, when we read the Bible, I think it really changes the way we see things. We see a God who is able, a creator who is super powerful, a programmer that is able to recode, that is able to bypass any laws that he's coded into the materialistic world. I just want to share a few verses that I found encouraging regarding confidence. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." So we can see straightforward that we are blessed through having that trust in the Lord and through having that confidence. And another verse that talks about confidence is that, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So it's a reminder for us to have that confidence in prayer. He hears us. He might not act in a way we demand of him, but he hears us. And one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6. It says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And when I That's very encouraging to me, because when I look at my own life as I grew as a Christian, as I made choices to follow Christ, I can see that I've come a long way. I look back and I can see the fruits of my decisions I made when I came to Christ. And this verse gives me the confidence that looking forward, this work that he started in me, which at times it's frustrating to see that I haven't attained what I feel like God wants me to attain. But through this verse, we can see that we can be confident that he already started that work. The same creator that took care of the little details of the cells, is able to also create in me. Just like he created a clean heart when I asked him through Psalms 51, creating me a clean heart, and he gave me that clean heart. And when I had this calloused heart of stone, I asked him, and he gave me a heart of flesh, as the Bible promised. And I'm sure going forward that he is able to, it says there, onto completion. And I look forward to that day when I'm able to experience that completion. And I'm sure all of us here will be able to experience that completion. Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one that's here and anyone that's tuning in online as well. Thank you so much for the reminder that even in the smallest details, literally smallest details, you're able to remind us of your power, Lord, of your creativity and design, Lord. Help us to open our eyes more, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we can really take hold of everything that you've shown in nature and in science, in archaeology, and also, Lord, in your word especially, Lord, we are able to find so many promises for us to be able to grow, Lord, and be complete in you. Submit all of us here, and also especially, Lord, those who might be going through some tough times, Lord, I especially pray for them, and pray that you may use us as well, as brothers and sisters, to be your hands and feet, to be part of that church that you designed, Lord. Pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.